Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. Got some exciting news to share with you. I think at least it's important to the business of the kingdom. We have made a decision that we are going to invest for the following year into multi-streaming, and that means we will be going to five or six other platforms on a daily basis. We will be live streaming. We will be doing video on YouTube, Facebook, and there's like five other platforms that we're going to be opened up to. So we're expanding our tent pegs so that we can get the information out that we have been called to share and to do our job. And so rejoice with us in that. It was a $360 investment, and those $360 are going to be used to advance this message and this ministry. So we're excited about it. We're excited about the days ahead. I'll be interviewing Brother Carl Gallups again, who just wrote another book, The Great Masquerade. I want to have him on the air, and I want to be talking to other men and women of God in interview. And we are still working on getting our platform lined up every day for Omega Radio, so that every morning at 6 a.m., you'll know exactly who's going to be on at 7 a.m., 8 a.m. We're going to have a nice lineup at least for the first part of the day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then repeat most likely those messages. So we are laboring to get things done. We've been doing a little journeying, but we're glad to be here today. And I've got a great message for you today from the Word of God. And then I want to share some other things that you need to put down on your calendar about the days that we're living in. So let's move right now into a passage of scriptures out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to leave you to do the homework with the first six verses. I'm going to pick it up in verse 7, but you'll find in the first six verses, there's some wonderful complementary passages to what we're going to talk about here right now. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we are going to look at verse 7. But, Paul says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, obviously, the treasure he is speaking of is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us. Jesus Christ is in us, okay? God is in us. the treasure of Christ is in us. But where is it? He's in an earthen vessel. Our bodies are earthen vessels. And so Paul's saying we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we have nothing to boast in. There's nothing that we have, even this great treasure that we could boast as our own. It is all the glory of God. And that is very important for what we're going to share here in just a moment. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 8, and this is the real apostolic cry of what Paul was going through at this time in his life. And he says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus, listen to these words, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11, Paul goes on to say, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, the life, the L-I-F-E, the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Boy, you got to love that. So think about it. If Christ is in you and Jesus Christ lives in you, well, what Paul is saying here, that life of Jesus will manifest in our mortal flesh. And so this gives place to an outray or a putting on of the display, the divine nature, the glorious nature of Jesus Christ that is in our earthen vessel. So you have the treasure, it's on the inside, and it needs to manifest forth. And this was Paul's desire for the ecclesia, the church. Now he goes on in verse 12, and Paul says, so then death works in us, but life in you, life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now watch, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Wow, what an amazing conversation. But watch verse 16. And here's where I want to really focus and key in. Right now, Paul's talking about the life of Jesus Christ manifesting in our mortal flesh, that all the labor of the apostles was for the well-being of the ecclesia, the true church, the body, the house of God. And Paul's saying, listen, we're laying our lives down, but you're picking yours up in Christ. I mean, it's beautiful what he's really saying to us. And then in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. So Paul's saying, we're laboring, we're distressed, we're persecuted, we're going through a lot of stuff. He started it out that way. He said, but because it's working out for the glory of God in you, for this cause, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. What a revelation. How did Paul know that his inward man was being renewed day by day? Every day there was a constant ongoing renewing of the eternal inward man. You know, you have an eternal inward man in you as well, that life of Christ is in you. You know that. This is imperative to living in the last days. You have to really grasp what God is saying through his word right now. You need to know that there is an indestructible life that is developing on the inside of you. That death, outward body death, means nothing to your eternal reality. And that's what Paul is saying. But I want you to notice something right now. In verse 17, he's gonna share something beautiful. And this is really, I want to key in on this. He said, for our light affliction. Now, the word there, affliction, is the Greek word thlipsis. It's the same word that we use for tribulation. In fact, this word thlipsis actually means pressure, and it means anguish, and it means to be burdened or persecuted or troubled. It's a pressing, okay? So it also means distress and straits. So Paul says, what? For light affliction. Now the word light there is the elephros or elephros, and what that actually means is easy. Remember when Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy? So Paul is now speaking to the ecclesia, the church, and he's saying, and of themselves as well. I mean, he's comparing his labor and all the persecution and the distress and the trouble that he faced, you know, as a light affliction. And he says, for our light affliction, the pressure that we've received, and you think about Paul's life, what was it? Shipwreck, beaten with stones and rods, thrown into prison, blood dripping down his back, betrayal. It just on and on and on. And yet he called that a light affliction. He called that a light affliction. That was nothing in comparison to something else. What was it? He says, for our light affliction, and you and I need to gain some strength from what the apostle was going through. We need to pick up on this and realize that until we have been shipwrecked, beaten, thrown into prison, betrayed, and all these other things for the cause of Christ, that you could suffer for being ungodly, that doesn't produce anything. But when we suffer for doing what is right, well, there's some added bonus to that, right? So we need to catch up and pick up on the Apostle Paul calling everything he went through a light affliction. And easy, it's easy in comparison. And yet look what he went through. Most of us would give up under those conditions. Most of us would cave in. And so we go through things, but listen to what he says. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Well, that word moment there is very interesting. I like the word. It's not an easy word, but it's the parutika, the parutika. And the parutika literally means at the very instant, i.e. momentary. In other words, it's simply what you're going through right now, and it's not going to last forever. And so this light affliction, which is but for a moment, a right now, you may be going through something. Well, it's not going to last forever, and that's the glory of God. But watch this. What is it doing? What is the affliction you're going through? How are you serving God today? How are you? And you know, by serving God, you're serving the body of Christ. You're taking care of God's people. You're taking care of the business of the kingdom. Maybe you're a financial giver, and it's creating, you know, it's some, you know, it's not easy. Or maybe you're taking care of a family in the church. Or maybe you're about doing other things to take care of the business of God, right? You're involved in God's work. And particularly taking care of the body of Christ, one another, caring for one another, that's always a part of it. How many times do we want to give up? How many times do we want to give in? Well, look what's happening here. When you don't give up, when you don't give in, and you recognize this is a light affliction, this is easy, and then you compare what you're doing to what the Apostle Paul called easy, you know, again, we're going to gain strength. And then knowing it's only for a moment, but what is it doing? Works for us. There's something working on our behalf. What? It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I mean, stop and think about that for a second. Paul, and let's just look at his life again. All right, let's just look at Paul's life. Forget about our own for a second. The man that's writing these passages, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church. He's always told them, listen, you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he's now giving example to the persecution and the suffering. You go back to verse 7, the afflictions that they were going through and the distress and the being cast down but not forsaken. He's explaining to these people what he has gone through for them, because it was for the glory of God ultimately to get the word to them, right? So they were suffering spiritual warfare, battles, things that most people would never dream. But he shares and he says it's a light affliction. When I was beaten with rods, when I was cast into the sea, when I was thrown into prison, when they stoned me with stones and left me for dead, when they tried to betray me, when they put together a conspiracy to not eat until I was dead, when brethren betrayed me, he said when they had to let me down out of a basket over the city wall. Paul is basically taking the culmination of his experiences as the apostle of Christ, and he says it was easy. He said it was light. He said it was light pressure, and it was only for a moment. And you know, the Bible is very clear that our time on earth is for a moment. We're like a vapor that is here today and gone tomorrow. And if you haven't caught that concept yet, that the breath you have, the life you're living right now, should be living for the glory of God, because the day will come when we will give an account to God for what we have done in our bodies. So don't in your body get into a complacent place of complaining and murmuring and grumbling and thinking life is too hard and all that stuff. No, you need to bring yourself alongside the Apostle Paul, and you need to measure yourself if you want to. And if you think you're suffering more than he did for doing the work of Christ, well, maybe you are. Maybe you've gone into an extreme realm, but still you got to admit it's only a light affliction that's going to last for a moment. But I think what we need to do is realize that I don't think any of us have ever gone through what the Apostle Paul has gone through. And so when we line up ourselves with him, we recognize this isn't a time to be murmuring and complaining. You know, Paul had his moments where he was crying out. He said, I burn. Do I not burn within? Because, you know, he was a man. But the idea that we give up and give in, no, we need to remember that whatever we are going through is working for us. Now, watch this. That trial that you're in or will be in or have just been in, or the one that's coming, the great tribulation, and all the signs of the times are here telling us the great tribulation is coming. But even that, I believe, is going to be in comparison to this, what? A far more exceeding. The tribulation, if we happen to be in it, is going to work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So what you're going through, or I'm going through, or anybody else in the world is going through as a Christian, maybe your family doesn't like you. Maybe, you know, there's 100 different things that are coming against you and persecuting you and troubling you and distressing you and throwing you down, and there's spiritual warfare and battles and witchcraft or whatever. In comparison to the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, this is going back to Romans chapter 8, that it's not worthy to be compared to the glory. He said our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, right? So what you're going through, and probably if we were intelligent spiritually, we'd say, God, I'm not suffering enough. I don't have enough pressure and distress. You know, I've learned to live my life to where I don't rock the boat and everything's just nice and nice. But Lord, it looks like the far more exceeding eternal weight of glory is for those who go through much tribulation, even though it's light. But, you know, it appears like Paul had much tribulation. But in comparison to the glory, the weight of glory, what is that? Well, this far more exceeding and eternal. So the level of blessing and the eternal aspect of it, whereas the suffering is not eternal. The tribulation is not eternal. What you're going through in your relationship with other people, stay the course. Don't give up, because it's going to produce good fruit if you allow that tribulation to work in you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I love that word weight. You got to love that, but I don't want to rush into that because that's kind of where I really want to focus for a moment. Again, So many people give up in a trial. So many people give up because opposition comes against their dreams, or the opposition comes against their calling. They get an epiphany from God. They get a revelation. They get direction. And then they go out and pursue it, and suddenly they're met with opposition. And some people just give up, or we get easily offended, or we're easily distracted or led away into some other idea other than what God called us to do. No, God is wanting to teach you and I, through the momentary light afflictions, how to endure. And in the endurance of these trials, do you think Paul could have given up the first time they stoned him with stones and left him for dead? Do you think the Apostle Paul could have given up when every city he went to and preached the gospel, the unbelieving Jews came behind him and undid everything he labored to do? Do you think he was ready to give up when they beat him with rods and sent him into the inner prisons? Do you think maybe he was ready to give up when he was shipwrecked at sea and then he got bit by a serpent on the island? I mean, how many times his closest friends betrayed him? The people around him, they just, he could have given up at any moment, but did he? No, he did not. He endured. And whatever you're going through that seems impossible, when you're focused on Jesus and you don't allow trials or opposition to pull you away or push you away, regardless what people may say against you, regardless of what the devil does to you, it doesn't matter. You get this, you come to this place in your life where none of that matters anymore. You're not trying to save your life anymore. You've committed yourself to Christ. You've committed yourself to the Holy Spirit. And you know that nothing happens to you without God's allowing it to happen. So whatever happens, you learn to give God praise in the midst of everything, right? We raise a hallelujah in the midst of the storm. But here's the glory. You ready? Not only is the affliction light and for a moment, I mean, that's just, think about it. It's here, and then it's gone, done. But the glory is eternal. It's far more exceeding in its value, and it's eternal. And what is it? It's an eternal weight of glory. And what is that word weight? That's the baros. And the baros means heavy. I love that. It means heavy. It also comes with the idea of a load or an abundance of authority. Oh my God, authority. God is establishing in your life through your daily walk with Him, the trials you go through, the fiery trials, the testing of your faith, the trial of your faith, all the different things that you need to come, temptation. But you know, temptation is not a sin. You could be tempted in every way that men are tempted, and you could get the victory and overcome. You don't have to succumb to any temptations. God always makes a way of escape. There's no doubt about that. But all of it is designed to put and deposit in your eternal spirit authority, substance, weight. Aren't we kind of through with the frivolous? Aren't we kind of bored with the shallow and the surface Christianity that we've seen? Aren't we kind of, we hear a lot of outward stuff, and it seems to be so wonderful, like watching a rocket go to the moon. We think that's powerful. But isn't there something more powerful when it comes to the far exceeding and eternal weight, authority, substance? I mean, something tangibly weighty, and that anointing and that authority and that spirit and that development, that character that God is forming in you. And then watch this. What is that eternal weight? It's the eternal weight of glory. Wow. What is the glory? That's the doxa. The doxa. And what is that? Well, the doxa means glory. It has a wide application, but it means dignity. It means honor, praise, worship. It comes from a deeper Greek word, the dokio. And the dokio simply means to be accounted, to be of reputation. And what God is saying through these definitions is that you are going to be accounted worthy to walk in the glory of the divine authority in the very divine nature of God. You're being trained up, in other words, Paul's telling the church. He's telling us, you're being trained up by your trials. Don't give up on your trials. Don't give up in the midst of a storm. Don't give up when you're being persecuted. Let it work, because most of the time, the tribulation is necessary to get out of us the chaff that's in our lives. We've been preaching recently about getting the inside of the cup clean, getting the inside of the platter clean, getting ourselves into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, purge yourself of the wood, hay, and stubble of your life. 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There is a call to the ecclesia to purge, to purify, to cleanse, to wash. We have to do that by applying the word of God and the finished work of Christ and the shedding of his blood to every aspect of our lives. We've got to trim away the fat right now. You see, preparation is all about getting rid of stuff so that we will be able to handle what's coming. If you know you're going to climb the tallest mountain in the world, you better start exercising. If you know you're going to climb Kilimanjaro or some other mountain, you better start exercising and getting yourself prepared, which means you need to start putting things out of your diet. You need to start putting things away that are not connected to where you're going. You have to focus in. You have to get this insight. You have to have this tunnel vision into your direction of what God has called you into. You can't be floundering around with a bunch of fabric just, you know, driving everything by the wind. It's a time to really begin to cut things away. And one of the best ways to do it is to go on a fast. One of the best things you and I could do if we're really interested in approaching the tribulation that's coming, the mountain that's before us, well, we need to, one of the great things to do is go on a longer fast. Start fasting, putting things away. And it may be difficult for the first 3 days and then the first 6 or 7 days. But after that, there's a breakthrough that comes in fasting. If those of you who have fasted, you know what I'm talking about. There's a breakthrough. And then you couple fasting with prayer. And then what you'll find out is the things that seem so impossible are no longer impossible. And through prayer and fasting, you'll be walking in the authority, because God is building into you authority, and your authority is in the kingdom, and everywhere you go, you have the authority over weather, like Jesus did. You have authority over demons, like Jesus did. You have authority over sickness, disease, and death, like Jesus did. And that authority is being worked in you, but it has to manifest. It has to get out. What a time to be walking in the authority of Christ over coronavirus. What a time to be walking in the authority over terrorism. What a time to be walking in authority over all the deception and the trickery of the devil. I mean, what a time. And if we relegate ourselves to the doctrine of cessationism, which says basically God is dead when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, well, then just live your mortal mere life on this earth with nothing but yourself. And just wait for heaven one day. Go for it if that's what you want to do. But that is so blasphemous in light of God giving so much to us. My God. And we don't use the power because we don't like the trial. We don't like the tribulation. We don't understand it yet. We refuse to understand that trials are excellent. Tribulation is good. Persecution is good. It's not bad. And all we want to do is hide from the bad things that are coming. Well, rather than hiding from it, why not have authority to deal with it? And I believe this is what God wants to do. Now, going back, and this is really important, in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Okay, now let's settle this for a moment. Momentary trials, not even worthy to be compared to this eternal glory. All right? Paul says in verse 18, while we look not. In other words, what does the word look mean? The word look here is the scopio, all right? This is the scopio. And the word means to observe, okay? And he's saying, don't look, watch. It means to contemplate. In other words, Don't contemplate. Don't observe. Don't fix your eyes upon. Okay? Don't take aim at and spy. Don't regard and consider what? He says, do not look while we look not at the things which are seen. All right. So we're not looking. We're not contemplating, regarding, meditating, spying on. We're not investigative in that sense. At the things which are the blepo, the things that are seen. The word seen there is blepo, and it means to behold, to beware, to have sight of. So what is he saying here? He's saying there are things coming on the earth. The signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus told us we should look at the signs. He said you should know the signs when they come. So he's not telling us to ignore. He says we don't observe or get too deeply involved or look at the things which are seen, the signs of trouble, coronavirus, AIDS, disease, terrorism, war, earthquake. I mean, they are there, and we should understand their purpose when we see them, but we don't focus and get involved in them to such a degree. Why? He says, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So we need to look at the unseen things of the promises of God. Look at the word of God. Look what the promises say. And then he says, but at the things which are not seen is what we look at. For the things which are seen are temporal. That's it. Everything you see coming on this earth. Now, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what they see coming on the earth. We're all going to see what's coming on the earth, but what separates us from the people that are going to die of heart attacks is that we don't contemplate them, observe them, and get in and investigate and spy them out. The world does. They can't take their eyes off of it. And so it's going to create fear in them. I don't care how the best of them will fall because they're going to be afraid because they're not obeying the instructions, right? Now, let me go back to this. The things which are seen are temporal. Now, that word temporal, you know what it means. It's the proskyros. And what it means is for a season. Enduring only for a while. Temporary. That's all it means. Endure for a time. It's all going to pass. World War III is going to pass. Biological warfare is going to pass. It's all going to pass. It's not eternal. But what does he say? He said, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, the promises of God, are eternal. So where do you set your sights in your life at this time? We're not ignorant of what's coming on the earth. We need to inform God's people because Jesus said to his generation, you're a bunch of fools. You can tell what time, you know, the rain's going to come or the wind, but you can't observe the signs of the times. So he wants us to know the signs. He wants us to understand that these signs are saying something to us. All the signs in the world today, from the locust plague to the earthquakes to the famines to the pestilences, the plagues to the diseases, all the wars and rumors of wars and troubles and chaos and division, upheaval, seeing waves, all of it has meaning that we should know, but that's not what we're looking at. We should have a very temporary sense. Okay, these are here. They're telling us something's coming. A sign tells us what's ahead. Now, you know what's ahead with all the signs going on in the world. You've been taught. What's ahead is the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. What's ahead is the Antichrist stepping into this world, taking power for 3.5 years. You know what's coming by the signs that are there. But even that is temporary. So what do you do then? You recognize what is there. You see the signs. They tell you what is coming. So now what you do is you really begin to look into the promises of God. Man, if sickness is coming, I want Psalm 91. If war is coming, I want to enter into my chamber. I want to be safe. If famine is coming, I want to store up my food. If all these things are ready to happen, I want to build up my spirit, soul, and body. I want to prepare. But I'm not looking at those things. I'm looking at the promises of God that are the preparations. I am prepared by receiving the word of God. The word of God says, a wise man foresees trouble and hides himself. The wise man prepares his food and water and season. You get your ark ready. You build your ark for your outward physical life, but you're also preparing your soul and spirit like we said yesterday. I guess the encouragement this morning is make sure that you're spying and investigating and contemplating and observing in the deepest sense the unseen promises of God. Heaven, God, holy angels, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. This is what you want to be looking at by the eyes and through the eyes of faith. Because if you don't, like Peter, who got out of the boat, began his journey to walk on water, he had his eyes on Jesus, but all of a sudden the wind and the waves begin to grow, and he saw and he looked away and he began to see them, and he began to sink immediately and cried out to God, and God was merciful and Jesus pulled him out of the water. We're all going to be tempted to see these things in the sense of getting involved in them, looking into them so deeply that's going to create fear in us. I'm telling you, it'll happen, but we don't have to have that. We should go, hey, there's a disease on the earth right now. It could spread all over the world and kill 5 billion people. Yep. Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to focus on every single promise of God that tells me no weapon formed against me will prosper. Not because I'm trying to save my life. It's because God's given me promises that I could stand on in the day of the storm. He's given me and you an unshakable kingdom that cannot be shaken. I want to live on that kingdom. I don't want to be in the turmoilous world. How about you? There are things coming. There have been things happening all along. Our response to these things is imperative. I am continually amazed at the Holy Spirit. I really am. The Holy Spirit, the divine intelligence of God given to a person that is limited in their own personal acumen, knowledge, prowess, whatever. I am constantly amazed at how the Holy Spirit is working in the church. When I hear, when Patricia and I were gone for a week, and when we come back and I'm preaching, and the people are gasping because they're saying, hey, Pastor Michael preached on that. Pastor Ken taught on that. And to know that the Spirit of God is so interconnected that we're speaking and saying the same thing without even trying to do anything because the Holy Spirit has been given place in our lives. Man, that's refreshing. And I just know the Holy Spirit is doing something. He's networking some things. And I marvel. And he is warning. He's telling us that this Babylon America, because it really is in so many ways, Isaiah 47, that this Babylon is going to collapse disastrously. He's telling us that. And he's telling us that it's going to come from a place you do not know, and you're not going to be able to put it off. And it's for the crimes we have committed and the sins we've committed. And yet, on the other side, we marvel that now the potential of overturning Roe versus Wade is now here. The potential of a conservative Supreme Court and 190 some odd federal judges that would begin to say, well, you know, we tested this thing with homosexual marriages, but you know what? We really don't want to see that in our society because it's blinding a lot of people. So we have the potential to pull these negative laws, these evil satanic laws down, but it also appears in this struggle that we've stepped into the prophetic. And the prophetic is the word of God that needs to be fulfilled. And everybody who loves Jesus is saying what? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come quickly. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, they hasten the day or hurry the day of the Lord. Not because they want the destruction, but they want the Lord to return. And he cannot come 2 Thessalonians 2, until after the great falling away and the man of sin is made his appearing for 3.5 years, bringing the great tribulation. Then the Lord will come immediately after the tribulation of those days. I mean, it's so obvious. The roadmap is there. It's as obvious as you traveling to Timbuktu, and then 100 miles out, you see a sign, Timbuktu, 100 miles. 30 miles down the road, you hear Timbuktu, 70 miles. Another 50 miles, Timbuktu, 20 miles. 5 miles, and you're getting closer and closer, and everything's appearing. Timbuktu's coming. Well, the signs are telling us what's coming. We've got to get ready. We got to see it. We look at it. I mean, it's there. But we're not going to have our hearts melting with fear. We're ready to lay our lives down. We're ready to go to prison. We're ready to die for our faith in Jesus Christ, right? We're not trying to save our lives. We're preaching the truth of God to a dark world where the spirit of blasphemy and antichrist is running rampant in a preceding presence of his actual arriving. And we are here to blow the trumpet. You are a voice. And God says, lift up your voice like a trumpet everywhere you go. Use the media. Use the platforms. Use all the devices you can to get the word out. Oh, and you're going to get on a list? Well, if I get on the list, I better shut it down. No, you don't shut it down until God tells you to shut it down. You don't shut it down because the first wave of opposition. You don't shut it down. You don't give up on a relationship because it's having a bad day. You know, this is part of the character building, the growing up in Christ. And we're learning how to do that, right? And boy, I can't wait to start refuting. And I mean really refuting this doctrine of cessationism that's running rampant in the churches today. I can't wait. And I'm telling you what, my wife and I, we were up all night last night downloading. Because we're not going to let our church get confused by doctrines of demons like the Holy Spirit doesn't exist anymore. And I'm going to leave it right there for that. We're going to deal with that issue, that blasphemous, short-sighted doctrine that needs to be refuted. I can't wait. We're going to do that Wednesday night at the church. Hallelujah. Well, listen, I've said everything I could say. I don't want to repeat myself. So what I'm going to do is open up the lines right now and invite you, if you're tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. What did you hear today? Those of you on YouTube, I want to welcome you. You could chat with me if you'd like. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you directly into the conversation. And what I'm asking is, what has the Holy Spirit ministered to you in the last 43 minutes? Anything fresh? Anything new? Anything quickened in your spirit? A word of knowledge? What is it that you're hearing? And I'm going to take our first call coming in this morning from area code 858. Patricia Joy Xavier seems to be on the line with us today. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you? What are you hearing? Praise the Lord.
What I am hearing is I am being encouraged to endure. And I know the scriptures are clear. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. To the end of what? To the end of their life, to the end of all things. Those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. This is helping me to endure. And endurance is absolutely necessary according to scripture, especially in the times we're in. So I want to say thank you for encouraging me today. My day is brighter because of it. And I hope all that are listening have been encouraged to endure.
Amen. Well, Patricia, I have another friend calling in right now. You may know him. His name is Art, and he's calling in from Idaho. Let's say hello to him. I'll keep you on the line with me for just a moment. Good morning, Art. How are you today, sir?
Quite well, thank you.
Hello. Hi, Art.
Patricia.
What's on your mind today, Brother Art?
Well, I was listening to what you were saying, and I was watching some of these politicians. Now, this homosexual Pete, Benny Gig, he said we got to have abortion and we got to have immigration for population. Right there, the Lord showed me that's where the Mayans went. So I did some research. How long has abortion been going on? Over 5,000 years.
Mm.
But people just integrated and they aborted all theirs and they just disappeared. That's what they're trying to do to us. They're just trying to politely shove us out the back door, you know. I know Trump signed against that Roe versus Wade, but I don't know of any Democrat that is against abortion. They all want it. They all want open doors. So it's going to be history repeat itself unless the Lord steps in. So if the people speaking like you are, trying to tell the truth to people, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. Just like in Jeremiah, they loved their false prophets. They didn't want to listen to the Lord. Quite often I ask people, who do you want to believe, God or man? It's quite simple. Last time I was on here, I said, if you doubt anything I tell you, you can ask the Lord or you can go out there and get 100 different men's opinions. That still holds today. So all you got to do is look at history to see what we're facing right today. It just seemed to be a repeat, repeat, repeat. That's why he told us, pray without ceasing. Our commitment with the Lord wasn't a 10-minute walk, a cakewalk. It's kind of a life sentence. We choose that life to serve the Lord. We don't just do it with our mouth, like Titus 1:15-16. Where in the pure was all things pure, but then those who are defiled, nothing was pure. They profess they know the Lord, but their walks denied him. That same with most of our political entries today. And so had a guy face me yesterday. He said, I don't want to hear politics or religion. I said, well, Lord, they did religion. He said, in the woes of Luke, he said, woe unto ye, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Told us to beware of them and to get out of Babylon. Well, we allowed a Babylon system to take over here. So that's what we're facing. Too many people are blinded by what they want. They don't look at that word and see what God wants. They want to go by somebody's with an axe to grind for their own simple thing. Abortion's a big business. Ask it Clinton, they can tell you. Pelosi, All of these. I've researched each one of them. Find out most of them are homosexual, bisexual, pedophiles. Same with our entertainers. They're all scum of the earth, most of them. It's just too bad that there's so many out there that with their works they deny God. They don't understand it's a death sentence. So, like to preach life to them. That's what the good news was life. That's what they lost was their life. Right?
Yeah, and wouldn't it be interesting while these trials are going on and all this turmoil, and if the people would see God's people walking in peace and joy and love, knowing what's going on, but, you know, why aren't you guys panicking like everybody else? What a great opportunity. But when Christians begin to panic and they get that look like they've been baptized in lemon juice and weaned on a pickle kind of thing, they get that sour look. I mean, that's not healthy for anybody.
No, because they all seem to want to go with society.
Yeah.
And so,
amen.
Yeah. That last 3 years has been nothing but a witch hunt, you know, and every time they open the door on something, it's one of theirs that committed the crime. But they don't do nothing. They just talk about it, and then they go on to the next issue. They forgot about selling the uranium. I wonder where the money went. One reading said it went, a lot of it went to Clinton Foundation. Obama pocketed it. You could go right down the line. They all got their fingers in it. So every politician should be really greatly screened before they're even put on that ballot. If they did that a long time ago, we wouldn't have what we're going on through now.
We wouldn't have a government.
They're the crooks, and they want to get rid of Trump so that before he gets to them, see. But we've seen the FBI covered for Hillary.
Yeah.
That shows you right there that the political mess that's controlling us, we need to go the other way.
Well, absolutely. And, Art, you know, the thing is right now, this whole presidency thing with Donald Trump, and which we all appreciate, value, and support, but it's all temporary. You know, in the system of government, after, you know, he gets elected again, let's say, in 2020, if that really were to happen, well, if he's just continued on as normal, you know, 40 years down the line, he's gone. And then, you know, what we've seen is like the in the Old Testament, all the kings, I think there were 43 kings. Some were good and some were evil, and they have the succession of kings. What we should all be desiring, and I do believe it is an inward desire, you know, for Christ to come and set up his kingdom on the earth. And how do we do that? Well, I would hope, I guess, if we have more light, which means we have more time to work to save souls, that we need to encourage the Supreme Court of the United States and all these appointments that have been made, overturn the, you know, the rule of law in the sense of Roe versus Wade, homosexual marriages, pull down some other of laws for Antichrist. I mean, that would be a wonderful reviving. And we've seen that before with Josiah, for example, in the Old Covenant. Josiah comes and he changes everything. He tears it all down and he puts up what is right. But immediately after that, some guy comes after him and reverses the whole order of things, and eventual judgment comes. And, you know, I just feel like this time we need to properly interpret what's happening in our society and in our world right now.
Well, it's kind of like Nineveh when Jonah finally got there, given their death sentence, they all repented. How long did it last? 70 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Patricia, you were
in another prophet. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. Patricia.
The scriptures need to be first interpreted properly so we have the depth of understanding we need. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to us. And we need to be more in tune or allow the Holy Spirit to move and have his way in us more readily than we have, because we're fighting an anti-Christ spirit. This is spiritual warfare. It's darkness against light. Nothing more, nothing less. But the darkness desires to control and take over, and that's what's happening. However, we are to save as many as we can prior to the coming of the Lord. So what we need to do is start doing spiritual warfare. We also need to understand the Holy Spirit's declaration to our lives and the calling that we have. And then we need to understand the scriptures perfectly by the Holy Spirit. That'll give us the power we need to rise up and be victorious and be the army of God he called us to be in the last day.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said. All right. We're on the air right now for a few more minutes. I have Patricia Joy Xavier and Brother Art from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho with me on the air, waiting for your call as well. Number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the conversation. Patricia or Art, anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, just when people pray, they should pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment. Discernment being the greatest. You can't have one without the other. You got to have them all. So
Amen.
That people will properly see, the blinders be stripped off. We need your eyes, ears, heart, and understanding, the blinders stripped off all of those, so they can see the truth. We only want to teach them the truth. We don't want to teach them some lie, you know.
Right.
It's like some of the churches, they don't preach healing.
Come on.
So
yeah, I
Art,
had a Baptist preacher. He didn't
Art,
believe
like-
healing, but... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry for the interruption, but right now I really feel that you need to pray for every person listening or watching on this broadcast right now, that all blinders will be taken away. Go ahead and pray that prayer. We're going to stand in agreement with you.
All right. Lord, as we come before you, we stand the gap for everybody listening and for the whole nation. We want to rebuke all the blinders. We're going to ask, Lord, that them blinders be lifted off of their eyes, ears, heart, their understanding. We ask you to give them the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, the discernment, and the clarity, the clarification, that they know in their heart, Lord, that they'll be drawn to your word, Lord, that they'll no longer just listen to a broadcast or a man, but they will do some research, that they'll be in depth into it, Lord, because it's a death sentence not to do it. Your word said to study to show ourselves approved. Not that we run around bragging how smart we are, Lord, but we're asking. We're laying this on the altar at your feet. We're trusting it in your hands to give us that wisdom and knowledge that we can understand it, that we have the clarification. So I want to speak healing over the nation, Lord, to everybody, regardless of what their affliction is. We ask for a mighty touch of your Holy Spirit and a movement across it, that these people will actually feel you and your presence as we pray here, Lord. Mm-hmm. And that it stay with them throughout the day, that it not just be a momentary thing. We ask, mm-hmm. Lord, that it be deep-rooted in each one of them, the ones who are sincere, that really want the truth, that they will seek it out, that they'll trust no man, that they will seek it out, they'll listen, that they will test the Spirit. 1 John 4:1 tells us to test the Spirit. That's why I ask everybody, Lord, if they got any question, they come to you with it, that they don't go out to get some politician's idea or some preacher that's tickling their ears, that it be bona fide truth that they seek, that they no longer just listen to what garbled being put out there to deceive men. So with that, we want to rebuke the spirits of deception in everything, in our government, our churches, our relationship with the people we associate with. Your word also tells us in Corinthians 5:11, if the brother, he's called the brother, fornicator, adulterer, idolater, whatever, we're not supposed to even fellowship with them or eat with them. So we're judged by our own action, not necessarily by some given law, because it made all these laws legal now, Lord, the things that are against you. So as we come before you, Lord, with our prayer, our petition, we just lay it on the altar at your feet. We trust it in your hands, Lord. We ask you to make this mighty move across these people here today. And we love and praise you. We do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.
Amen. Patricia, want to pick it up? We've got another minute left in the broadcast. You want to close out with a prayer today, please?
Yes. Lord, your word tells us that no man can come unto you, Father, unless you draw him by your Spirit. I'm asking, Father, that you would begin to draw them by your Spirit. Those who have been contemplating whether or not they are right in their thinking, whether or not they should go to the left or to the right. I pray, Father, that you would touch them deeply and that they would become drawn unto you, that there would be conviction upon their heart to see, that you would take the blinders off of their eyes that they may envision, the ears to hear your word and to understand your word. I ask for a great anointing upon this prayer and all who are praying, including Art, that the anointing will go forth and make a division between those that are willing and those who are not, and that you will draw them again to the church, but the church of the living Christ, the church that speaks the truth in love, the church that is not deceived about doctrinal differences, the church that knows that the Holy Spirit is for today, not just to come into one's heart, but to give gifts unto men that they may be able to deliver multitudes from their bondage. Lord, bring us to that place in glory, the true and living church. Bring us together as one new man on the earth, that we may stand strong shoulder to shoulder, and that we may do exploits. This is a time like no other. Hear our prayers. Let it be anointed powerfully by your Spirit and drawn up to you into the heavenly realm. And Lord, release thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Art, Patricia, thanks for calling into the broadcast, sharing your thoughts and your prayers. To the body of Christ, remember, be a wise virgin. Get all the oil you can for your lamp for the journey ahead. Make sure that you're walking in the light. Let there be light in the midst of the darkness. And let your life and let your voice and let your truth, the truth of Christ in you, let it be a guiding light to people around and about you today. Be blessed. Put a smile on your face. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Until we meet again tomorrow, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. God bless. We'll see y'all real soon. Right now on Omega Radio, that's omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion, and they're actually talking about the spirit of illegal trespassers. That's happening right now on Omega Radio. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, shalom.